They are not of the world, as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. I sanctify myself for them, so they also may be sanctified by the truth. Jesus prayed that we might be unified in his truth, standing firm in the faith and strong in his word. In a world questioning the credibility of God's word, Christ's prayer is for his church to stand firm in unity and his word. This is The Answers Conversation, and I'm your host, Steve Hamm. We'll be answering the skeptical questions of our time, standing firm on the authority of God's word, and rejoicing in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, this morning we have with us Dr. Tommy Mitchell. He's a medical internist. He actually works at Answers in Genesis. One of our popular speakers that we have here at Answers in Genesis goes out to churches all around the country and does wonderful conferences helping people to be able to defend the scriptures from the first verse and point people to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Welcome, Tommy.
Thanks, Steve. Glad to be with you.
You know, we're going to talk about ethics today because you've had, particularly as a medical doctor, right, a lot of times where this subject has come up to you. And so we're going to talk about that. I know you would much rather talk about Martin guitars or Apple computers or bluegrass music, right?
Oh, absolutely. But you can't always get what you want.
Okay. Which are some of Tommy's, you know, favourite things in the world to enjoy. But, yeah, okay, we're going to talk about ethics. And what I want to do is just ask you something to start off with. You know, what gives us any standard that we can set in relation to having ethics?
Well, the standard we have is God. I mean, God is the creator God. He gave us his word. We have the Bible. We have a standard for ethics. Ethics in our world today is so often defined as what man thinks it should be, this molecules to man worldview, and and people who have basically an idea that ethics is whatever I want it to be, and they can define it on their own. As Christians, we have an ultimate moral authority, and that moral authority is the creator God of the universe.
Well, he's revealed that authority to us.
Absolutely.
Okay, so talk a little bit about that, because obviously if we're talking about this revealed truth that gives us a standard for ethical issues, we need to be able to say, well, this revealed truth is really truth, right?
Absolutely. Because the Christian worldview is that there is a God who loves us, who created everything. He gives us his word, the Bible, and in his revelation to us through his word, we understand what he defines as right and wrong, good and bad, moral and immoral. It's not just what we think. It's not what we hope or what we desire, not these situational ethics things. It is the ultimate authority given to us by God.
Well, what would you say then if somebody comes and says to you, no, you know what, science has told me, you know, through millions of years of evolutionary processes that the social order, you know, determines what the morality is of the time and those sorts of things.
Well, that's what the secularists, that's what the materialist actually believes, is that because they know, in their view, of course, that we just evolved from, you know, a single cell creature over billions of years, and that humans evolved from ape-like creatures over the last 3 to 5 billion years. And if you look at the way the processes of supposedly work over these billions of years, they can take these processes and somehow say, well, this particular thing here explains why creatures behave in such a way, or this is the origin of altruistic behavior in cockroaches, or how ants cooperate to do things. And they say, well, this is obviously where our basis is for certain moral standards. But then at the end of the day, when you say, okay, what is the moral standard? How do you define morality? Well, it's what makes me happy, or what brings the greatest good to the greatest number of people, or what provides happiness to sentient creatures. And then they end up with basically an arbitrary standard of morality. Because, and some people even have told me at some of my conferences, it's really amazing, they've come up and said, well, society gets to determine what's moral. In other words, morality is up for popular vote. Well, we see what happened in Nazi Germany when that sort of standard is applied to morality. You know, God's word says, thou shalt not kill, you know, esteem your neighbor above yourself. The things that God would have us do in our interactions with one another, well, if morality is just up for popular vote, there is no ultimate standard because it can change at a whim.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, this really does reflect from even the very first chapter of Genesis.
Absolutely.
Where we have that God specially created man in his image.
Right.
And so, you know, what would, you know, being created in God's image have to bear in relation to morality, do you think?
Well, I think that that goes back to the basic issue that we're not just an animal. We did just evolve by random chance processes over millions of years, that we have, you know, a conscience. We have a moral understanding that's innate in human beings. Now, some people suppress that in unrighteousness. I understand that. And, you know, this whole being made in God's we could talk for hours about that. But one of the aspects to that that I really, you know, feel is key to this discussion is I think, you know, this whole idea of conscience, you know, God's word, the basis of understanding right and wrong is sort of almost innately, you know, it's just part of who we are as being in God's image.
And also, I mean, being in God's image says that there is a value other than what we determine.
Absolutely.
It's God has valued humanity as a special creation in his image. And so we're going to be talking about human ethics this morning, aren't we? And since, so, you know, talking about human ethics, we already have that standard that there is this ultimate value in humanity about being created in the image of God. But when we're talking about ethics, what sort of things are we talking about? What is involved here?
Well, the things that I ran into over the years were basically, you know, centered around my medical practice and the decisions that people had to make in those circumstances. Unfortunately, in the type of practice I had, I took care of a lot of critically ill patients, and there were issues about, you know, when do you continue medical care? When is enough enough? You know, do you have the right to stop? Do you have the right to say, I don't want any further intervention? A lot of issues that we're talking about in our society today, particularly around these discussions about euthanasia, things like that. Obviously, not for euthanasia. I don't mean to imply that. But those morality, those ethical decisions that I was involved with were basically in the circumstance of critical illness.
Yeah.
And when do you do things? When do you not do things?
Right. Let's talk about something like euthanasia, though. I mean, just define what euthanasia is for folks and talk a little bit about some of the issues there.
Well, euthanasia is basically, I think the definition is good death. You know, people now have decided that they have the right to end their life when they want to for, you know, and they'll give reasons like, well, if I have a terminal illness or I'm not happy or, you know, I see no future or whatever. And over time, obviously, that set of standards has broadened a lot. But when people think about euthanasia, they generally think in terms of mercy killing. You know, somebody's got a terminal illness and they know they're not going to live many, many more months. So they just say, I want to take an injection and end my life, and that's my right. And there are actually societies, you know, groups out in the world that are promoting that actively because they say, yeah, it is your right to determine what happens because your life belongs to you. And as Christians, there's a fundamental distinction to make because our lives don't belong to us. Our lives belong to God, and he's the one who determines the end.
Particularly when you think that Christ paid the ultimate sacrifice for our life, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And see, that's the fundamental distinction because in a man-centered morality, our lives do belong to us and we get to determine what happens. But as Christians, we understand that our lives don't belong to us and Christ did pay that ultimate price. And ultimately, in that view, God determines when the end. I mean, he knows when the beginning, he knows the end, he knows when our lives are going to end. But the decisions we make in critical times, well, those are the kinds of things I had to deal with. And sometimes they're very, very difficult issues.
Yeah, because you've got people sitting in front of you. They're full of pain, physical pain. They're finding it difficult to live with that pain, obviously. And so, you know, you've really got to sit in front of them and say, hey, as a Christian, I'm saying live out your life.
Well, one of the advantages I had in the practice where I, you know, when I was actually practicing is I practiced in my hometown, and most of the patients I took care of I'd known for years. And I had a personal relationship, and they had known me for, you know, I took care of my little league baseball coach, for example. And so there were long-term relationships and commitments that we had one to another, and we trusted each other, and we would have very serious discussions, particularly if patients had advanced cancers or dementias, things like that. I did actually have one or two families and patients come to me say, would you do something to help me in this situation. And obviously I declined that, but you have those discussions. And if it's an issue of pain control or, you know, trying to, you know, comfort measures, things like that, you try to intervene there, but the answer is not taking your life.
Right.
And see, we're seeing more and more of a push like that in healthcare circles now. Well, if you're not productive, if you're in pain, well, the simplest thing is just, and particularly, well, we don't want you to be a financial burden. We're just going to give you an injection, and that's going to take care of the circumstance. But as Christians, we understand that that's not our right. That's not a step we're allowed to take. That final time, you know, when we're called home to be with the Lord decides that. We don't.
So that these are end-of-life issues.
These are end-of-life issues.
But, you know, there's when it comes to – let's go from the bookends, okay? Mm-hmm. You know, that's the end-of-life issues. But we see in our society big debates about beginning-of-life issues.
Mm-hmm.
Well, talk about that for a little while.
Well, the abortion is one of the major social issues of the age, you know, certainly in our lifetime. You know, the slaughter of millions of unborn children in their mother's womb. I mean, just, you know, you talk about the Holocaust and 9 or 10 million, there have been over 50 million abortions. I mean,
wow.
what a horrible testimony for our society. But what it comes down to in so many cases, because I talk to a lot of people as I travel and they ask me about these things, the question is not always, you know, when does life begin, but when does human life begin?
Hmm.
Because we would say as Christians that, you know, this is really, and it's really not a scientific issue, honestly, it's a theologic issue.
Yep.
Because so many people say human life, you know, doesn't begin until it begins at the time of fertilization. No, it begins at the time of implantation.
Mm.
No, it begins when the heart starts to beat, or it begins when brain activity starts. And people point to milestones of anatomy, milestones of development.
Mm.
Life begins at the point of fertilization when the egg and the sperm unite. That's when a genetically unique human being is created. Now, a lot of people in society say, well, okay, that's life, but it's not human. It doesn't become human until later. And that's how they justify the termination of a child at a very early point in development, because they say, well, maybe it's life, but it's not human life.
Mm.
And we dance around these definitions, but human life begins at the moment of fertilization.
And when we get scriptures that talk about, you know, God knowing us before knowing we were born, you know, and those sorts of things,
right,
there's really no argument here in Scripture, is
there? Well, when you read what Scripture has to say about, you know, the child in the womb, it always refers to a person.
Mm.
I mean, from the very moment, the point of fertilization, Scripture describes that as a child, as a person.
Mm.
There are personal pronouns used. It's not, you know, some blob of jelly or something that you can do away with as you please.
Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, I so often hear people who want to grab onto equality in value.
Mm-hmm.
But if equality in value for humans is determined by their developmental stage, I mean, that's just totally subjective, isn't it?
Well, it is. I mean, if you want, then you take that to the next step. Is a 4-year-old child more valuable than a 2-year-old child? Because there's been some progress in development, you know, mental development, physical development. Is a 25-year-old more valuable than a 5-year-old? So you can take those to extremes.
Mm.
But it gives people a justification for abortion if you say it's not human.
Mm.
But it's human from the very moment of fertilization.
Yeah, absolutely. This has an impact on the gospel. Ethics have an impact on the gospel effect. How would you determine that to be the case?
Well, obviously, I mean, the Creator God of the universe created us. We're made in His image. We know we're sinful creatures. We all are. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But Jesus Christ walked this earth as a man to take our punishment.
Mm.
He lived that perfect life. He walked up that hill. He was nailed to that tree to take upon Himself our sin and our punishment, that we can be with Him forever.
Mm.
And part of being created in that image is we make moral choices. We understand right and wrong. We know that we're sinners, but at the end of the day, we're not just animals. We're not just, you know, the next iteration of a higher form of an ape. We're not just some soulless creature who's going to just die and turn to dust, as so many evolutionists want to say. You know, when I'm dead, I know I'm going to be dead.
Mm.
Actually, there's something after death. And the time we're here on earth is just a blink of an eye compared to the eternity we're going to have with Christ.
Yeah, all humans. Right. All humans are going to live on, and their eternity is going to be determined on their relationship with Jesus Christ.
Right.
So tell me, what do you think we have at Answers in Genesis that could help people with this issue?
Well, there are a number of resources, I think, that speak directly to this. First and foremost, Ken Ham's book, The Lie.
Mm-hmm.
I think that would give people a wonderful understanding of the issues that we've just barely scratched the surface of today. Several years ago, I did a DVD called A God of Suffering, and it addresses the issue of, if God's a God of love, why is there so much death and suffering? And it deals with these issues of morality and ethics. I think those resources would be very helpful for people looking for more information in these areas.
Great. Thank you so much. You know, in Colossians 3, we read this, "Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge after the image of its creator." And we in Jesus Christ are actually able to continue to bear his image only through him and his justifying and sanctifying work in our life. And being humans is that unique opportunity to have faith in Christ and be saved in him forever. Thank you so much, Dr. Tommy Mitchell, for being with us.
Thanks, Steve. My pleasure.
If you want answers on this or any other subject, visit answersingenesis.org. That's answersingenesis.org.